Okay, so this is a 2-year anniversary episode of SequelCast, lest we forget.
There was a podcast called the SequelCast that talked about movies.
Movies!
And they also talked about something else called boobies.
Boobies!
It's the SequelCast. Oh yeah, the SequelCast. It's the SequelCast. www.sequelcast.com.
Hello and welcome to the Sequel Cast. The Sequel Cast is a show that looks at movies in a franchise one movie at a time. This is a special episode celebrating our 2-year anniversary. It's not exact. You know, the Sequel Cast started having episodes online in November of 2009. But we figured around the end of the year is a pretty good time to do this. So this is our 2-year anniversary special. With me is Thrasher. And
hello,
Jersey
everybody.
Jason.
Glad to have you with us after another year.
Last week, and it would be soon to morph into Georgia
in
Jason,
Jersey,
like
Jason.
A beautiful butterfly.
I don't want to use that name. I'm just going to go by. I'll just go by Jersey Jason.
Very much so.
Show my allegiance to the Garden State.
It's looking back on this, a second year of Sequel Cast, I would say a theme is a change. What do you say? Constant change. Because it was near
constant
the
change.
End of 2010, floating into the beginning of 2011, that we started recording shows and having them online weekly. I think was a big change as far as you know, being more consistent in doing the shows and putting it online. And I think that's helped build the audience. I think, though, too, right, we get to keep a bit sharper, I think,
it
as
really
it goes on.
The show.
But I'm going to run down a list just of the franchises we've covered this year just to keep in mind, and then we'll sort of hop around in conversation from there. How does that sound? Okay, so for the year of 2011, these are the franchises we covered,
sure.
Not including special episodes, such as this 2-year anniversary show. We started off the year with all 4 Rambo films, then moved on to the Chronicles of Riddick duology. We covered the Karate Kid films, but only the 4 with Pat Morita as Mr. Miyagi. Yeah, we covered the Ninja Turtles.
Mr. Miyagi,
films.
Pat Morita.
We looked at the Chinatown duology, some of our least listened to episodes ever. We covered the Indiana Jones movies and the
with good reasons.
Oh, really?
From the IndieCast. We covered and then after the Indiana Jones episodes. The Sequel Cast had been on Cascadia FM for a while, and I made the transition recording in their studio in downtown Portland, Oregon, and I hosted Sequel Cast with Sabrina Miller. And sadly, Cascadia.fm is no more. It got the name got sold off, but I imagine Sabrina Miller still hosts the same show she does just as a podcast now. It's not an internet radio show. Called Portland Sucks, and it's a show she does with Robert Wagner, a talk show. I think it's 5 days a week or something is when they do it, I believe. And you can find that on iTunes. With her we did, I did with her, Mad Max trilogy, the Basic Instinct duology, the RoboCop trilogy, and the Bourne Identity trilogy. And then, what?
You
not
know,
enough, what?
You know what I didn't like about those episodes? Not enough.
Not enough, Jason. Yes, that's a good point. We can talk a bit about that section of the Sequel Cast later if you want. Legacy, yes. You know, after that, you know, we made a
Legacy.
Return to how it used to be for reasons. I did almost say to form, and I didn't want
to
insult Sabrina because I
form.
Really enjoyed the shows I did with her. But, I'm not going to get into reasons about why all that happened, really, but I can tell you off air. But anyway, with Back to the Future, Die Hard, Rocky Horror Picture Show duology, and the Home Alone movies for the month of December. You know, so all of those things are things we've covered in 2011 on the sequel cast. So, with all those things listed, is there episodes that you did that you want to talk about, or do you want to give opinions on movies I did with Sabrina, or what? How do you want to start this off, guys?
I really wish and I had it's been pretty there interesting. For Mad Max. Those
it's
are,
interesting
those
with Mad Max because
movies.
The director of the first two movies, he was a co-director on the third, George Miller. And lately, he did the Happy Feet cartoon movies. And he also like was a director on Babe 2, Pig in the City. And
Babe 2 has kind of the same feel as Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. So it's not that big a stretch.
No. Babe will grow up to be one of the pigs in Master Blaster's pit.
Oh, Jesus. Who runs Bartertown? Master Blaster. Louder. Can't hear. See, that's what you needed. You needed to call me so I could do my Master Blaster impression.
Like I was trying to say, they've been trying to do a Mad Max 4 for years, and they've had various issues pop up in the way of it. With the same director, George Miller, doing them. And the current plan is for him to do Mad Max 4 and 5 back-to-back, and then they're also going to do a Mad Max 6. But Mad Max 4 has been such an on-and-off-again project for so long, I'll be skeptical until I see a trailer for it. And Mel Gibson is not going to be in it as Mad Max. But, I mean, that being said, the Mad Max trilogy is a pretty interesting series of films, don't you think, Jason? Well, that's not
of
the
course.
First film.
I mean, the first one, Road Warrior, first, really Mad Max, isn't this post-apocalyptic world.
Yeah.
Mad Max.
It is. Road Warrior
Road
is
Warrior
the second film.
Is the first film. It's but, the same character.
Go on.
Okay. Yes. No, I'm saying that the first Mad Max. With,
you're right.
Isn't
yeah.
po- is
yeah,
not
he's a cop.
Really
yeah.
super post-apocalyptic. It's just car racing in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to the actual, like, oh, the world got left behind and bad stuff, and then, like, gas is a commodity. And even in the things are set up, so this character can kind of continue on in the, I guess, cataclysm or the destruction of the world and the social mores. But in that society, it goes from a struggling world where you still have a lot of the comforts of technology and such, to this like bleak dystopia. Seeing it, like, I didn't even know the movies were connected when I first saw them. But just the character of Mad Max also kind of stays the same except for his hair, which again, if he played that same character, I think Mel Gibson could be a return to form as Mad Max. You just have to get the right story. You have to get it where he's not insane, where he is still, again, just going back to being tough.
And they're both Australian.
Russell Crowe.
Although even Russell Crowe, Mel Gibson had a sort of, I don't know if I want to say friendly vibe, but Russell Crowe just seems really pissy, and Mel Gibson in like the 80s and 90s of his career, like, I don't know, didn't seem more like a fun-loving kind of persona, you know, in the tabloids and that sort of a thing. Yeah, no, that's a better comparison.
Okay, Hugh Jackman is playing tough, he's like super tough, and then he has like this, he has this bright lifting up kind of personality. Where he's like, oh, that guy could be my friend. I could be friends with Gibson, except I'm Jewish.
Yeah, Mel Gibson.
Oh, about Mad Max? Well, like, I think the time for that is his past. I mean, those movies really are grounded in the 80s. In the last time a global thermonuclear war seemed at all plausible, I suspect we're more likely to see a shitty reboot than a shitty sequel. as much as I would like a good sequel to be done, and I would love to see a retirement age Mad Max still trying to get on in this world. I think that's would be a fascinating area to explore, but I don't think that's what the movie would offer. That being said, I love
Harrison Ford's going to play Indiana Jones again. Why can't Mel Gibson play an aging fucking cataclysmic warrior? He's still in good shape. I've heard things, but I mean, if he still had the body, if he has the body anywhere near what he had in what's the movie?
Braveheart.
Freedom. Thank you. If he even got himself to that form, or even the other one where he plays the colonial guy in the Revolutionary War. Patriot.
In middle school and high school growing up and stuff. And I think the damage he's done to his persona, I think, certainly has hurt his career. But I haven't seen a lot of recent movies he's acted in. But a movie he directed recently called Apocalypto, I thought was excellent. Mel Gibson... it's so difficult with some of these people to separate their personal life from their professional life, you know, once they've said certain things, you know what I mean? But I still think he's a real talent, and I really want to see The Beaver. It's directed by Jodie Foster and stars Mel Gibson as a guy who, I haven't seen it, but he has some kind of a breakdown and talks to a hand puppet beaver, voiced by Ray Winstone, a British actor.
The Beaver was voiced by Mel Gibson.
Then how did you know this alternate version of it?
You know, I've been drinking. This is our second sequel cast episode we're recording in a row, so that might affect things. But
Speaking of movie blogs, like the sequel cast blog.com.
And
now I have a bone to pick with you. I think that's the wrong direction for this podcast.
To be readable.
The idea is it's a way we can write about films and kind of do exactly it longer form than on the Facebook page. And both the sequel cast podcast website and the blog website have links to each other. The point is, on the main sequel cast page, I did not want it to be a mixture of blog post and podcast, because I think that makes it difficult to find the shows. It was my ultimate point. And separate websites, well, was still kind of sloppy. We can have longer essays I cross-posted to the Facebook page. I don't know, it gets the name out there. And none of my sponsorships I've gotten have panned out yet. But
we know, Jason, you haven't written anything for the blog, so you're not going in this theoretical wrong direction.
I have put
Let's go back to talking about this. Okay.
I believe because here's the thing is I also believe that written material is so 20th century and just the written word is dead.
You do know I'm a professional writer, Jason. You're stabbing at me.
Wait, no. I'm congratulating you in the back.
I'm not just stabbing you, I'm congratulating you in the back.
That's my phrase!
Okay. Yeah. That'll be the new catchphrase for 20...
I'm congratulating
that'll be
the
new catchphrase for 2012. So we've talked a bit about Mad Max. Looking back on the second year of sequel cast, it's, our audio quality, I think, has improved, has been something with the show. What?
I don't think my voice
has
gotten better.
Interrupted?
Well, I think it'd be more on my side than I've spent money on.
Constantly interrupted during the middle of recording.
I don't know. I think I listened to the very first episode of Sequelcast on Beverly Hills Cop 1. I listened to 5 minutes of that the other day. And with the rinky-dink microphone, I did that on at the time, and it wasn't a very high-quality audio file with Jason and I talking about that film. We've come a long way, and I love with our Facebook page, if you go on Facebook and search SequelCast, we're on there, how there's a lot of real fun interaction between us and listeners of the show. In particular, they seem to be from England and Australia and Canada for the most part. And that really means a lot to me. Like, I don't know. Is it? I don't know. It's cool. The internet. It can be anywhere. Yeah.
That's weird. No. I mean, that's very true. I think that's great that, like, there are people, like people I know wouldn't like, know that I do this. I try to tell them to listen to it.
Yeah,
constantly
isn't it?
On my Facebook
that's
page.
Great.
But the idea that somebody in another country is listening to us discuss movies, I'm like, I wonder if they, because they're also coming from a different part. They didn't see the movies probably
sure.
What we did. They all have their own stories and how they connect to these. No, but they all have their own stories how they connect. And it's interesting that they want to hear
what
other people think about
movies,
these movies.
Basically.
These aren't in the theaters now.
Right.
We're not reviewing them as
and,
they come out.
No,
unless it's a movie
that's
just come out. I mean, who's looking for somebody
yeah, no,
to talk to about RoboCop or Beverly Hills Cop?
From the Facebook page where we get some fans of the show get to come on as a guest. I think could be fun.
Oh, but you know what? Speaking of other changes, this year marks when the sequel cast finally
really?
Started reviewing movies
okay.
that came out after 1987.
Yeah, go on, Thrasher.
If you'll remember.
Okay.
Yeah. I think I mentioned this on the first year anniversary show, but my very good friend Greg Feldman, during like the first year of the show, I think after like the first five episodes had been recorded, I was talking to him about it online and sending him links. And at one point he said, "Does Matt know that movies have been released after 1987?
And,
stuck to that.
As far as what we cover in Sequel Cast, we're not trying to line up our reviews to sequels that are currently coming out or anything. It's very last minute on what we decide to do, and I think that's a strength. I think if we decided at the beginning of the year we're going to do all these different franchises and movies, I think we would get bored of it. And
Okay, what's the newest movies that have come out? Born Identity was the
latest most recent
one. Has been the latest movie.
Yeah,
that you
probably. I think you're right. Sure, but even that, I mean, I don't know. It's not like we're doing these reviews up to the point where Born Identity 4 is coming out, which it comes out, I think, in 2012, I believe. No, I think you're right. I think Born Identity is the most recent thing, but I think we sort of do what we take turns picking out what. Movies we cover, and we take into consideration what people request on Facebook. I know Lethal Weapon and Gremlins is something one of our longtime listeners, Luis, has been recommending. And we should do those in 2012 at some point. But, like, right after Die Hard, you can't jump from Die Hard right into Lethal Weapon, frankly. I think that's a bit too... those franchises are kind of similar in some ways, you know, comedic action pictures. Yeah.
Action-packed, yeah.
You gotta go to
somebody else. You gotta go to another field,
yeah,
like
no,
a kids
nice
movie,
to mix up the genres
or
too.
Even
Thrasher,
a comedy series, or a horror movie.
Yeah, we've definitely done a much better job of keeping things varied. But I was gonna say, you know what I would love to do next year? I would love to do a black and white film franchise. I would love to do a franchise from the 1950s, like Topper or something.
Frankenstein and Bride of Frankenstein.
Because the obscure episodes have done so well.
Oh, but Topper's so obscure and awesome.
I've never heard of it.
It's about a dead couple that help a detective.
Okay.
No, that's it. Two husband and wife, wealthy socialites, get into a horrible, horrible car accident and die, become ghosts. And this like guy named Topper can see
I'm
and hear
surprised
them,
we
so they
haven't
help
done...
him out. He's like a mystery-solving mystery writer.
Oh, how would you do it? That's an interesting question, Jason. Because how would you do Nutty Professor? Would you do the Jerry Lewis one and then do the two Eddie Murphy films?
That's for the remake cast.
I would do them simple. I would do the Nutty Professor, the Jerry Lewis, and then I would do like a Return to, and then do. It's like doing. You can't really do Dr. Doolittle the original, but you can talk about Dr. Doolittle.
I have not read the novels of Dr. Doolittle in several years, but as a child, I read several of those books, and how it's very. I guess you'd say, like, liberal, pro-environmental, don't-do-bullfights sort of stance. And you look at that compared to the Eddie Murphy movie where it's like, oh my god, this monkey touched my butt, or whatever. You know, it's, like, so different from what...
I don't want to bring politics
into this. I'm just trying to think of an adjective. And I've been drinking to describe... Dr. Doolittle. But have you ever read any of the books? Yeah. Right.
No, it is. It's very like vegan and PETA and all that fun stuff.
And so,
PETA, yeah. No, I completely agree.
Yeah.
I also agree on the drinking. But also, here's the question then, is that you have that movie, and those were like family films. What has been in this list, what has been the... friendly,
out of what we've done this past,
family
friendliest,
Home Alone is
the most,
and which is not at all.
Home Alone?
As for the. Oh, yeah, that's a good point. Sure, okay.
I'm going to go TMNT. I'm going to go Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, well.
And then, of course, Rocky Horror.
Yeah, you could say Rocky Horror, you could say Rambo. I don't know, some of the violence in those films. But, I mean. I don't like.
Anal sex versus Afghans blowing up Russian fellow.
What
about machine gunning?
What is machine gunning, Thrasher? I do not know
involving.
What that is.
Oh, God, no.
No, tell me, Thrasher. This is a special two-year
Google exists.
Show, and I'm drinking the listeners deserve to know.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I just made that up because it sounded dirty, but I'll tell you what, I will invent a practice.
I really thought it was a thing.
Machine gunning is the following. Machine gunning is when a person is having...
Yes.
Is making love to someone's anal region while at least one other person is making love to that person's anal
but
region.
Only with
so it's
anal?
Rapid fire and auto-cocking.
I see. So it's machine gunning.
Yeah. Machine gunning. You heard it here first,
no, I have a better... I think there is a gunning position. There actually is a gunnery position where you have... This is female. This is male-female relations. Where it is a woman, you put her legs up, you bring her legs up to your hips, and you basically have her cocked on a bed, and you're standing. So it's almost like a gunnery position in a war. Or you could do it like like machine guns in World War I, where you would actually be going down on her while she is on her stomach on a bed, so it's like you're in the trenches. And you've got her legs on.
Surely Kevin McAllister of the Home Alone series would have not tried something like that in his youth. What?
But again, you know what? That's about Home Alone.
Okay, go on.
As a kid, I don't know what. What? No, I'm just saying. If the kid from Home Alone had had any sense, he would have...
Right, you know, that is weird that he didn't have...
It like every family was
I mean, don't
gone.
You think if he had that...
So here's the question, like...
Right, I mean, that
no
he was in the house by himself.
Does he
didn't
have, no
have like,
friends
come neighbor? Over to, I don't know, play video games all day or whatever. It's a pretty lame example.
Yeah. Hell, I would have... Me, I would have invited a girl at least a grade above me or something if I knew I had the house myself. I would have invited somebody over and tried a little bit of trench mouthing.
Well, that does bring up I suppose we should have covered this in the Home Alone episode, but at no point.
No, he does. Bullshit. He goes into Buzz's
pornography stash that all houses.
Yes. Now, yeah, he opens up his little treasure chest and he sees a Playboy.
Wait, does it?
And he looks at it for 2 seconds and goes, "Eh," throws it over his shoulder, and instead picks up like firecrackers and chewing gum or something. So there is.
Oh,
Playboy,
you're
but
right.
He doesn't even like. They don't have the moment.
You're
where
right.
He unfolds
I totally
the
forgot.
Centerfold. And goes, eh, which I thought could have been funnier. But, whatever. I don't know. It's a... Okay, so this is a 2-year anniversary episode of Sequel Cast, lest we forget. Yes, not a...
is it?
A sexual practice tutorial. yeah.
Practice makes perfect.
So, Thrasher, you've mentioned that RoboCop is something you've wanted to talk about, which we can't do since I did those shows with Sabrina. But with this, with this anniversary show, you have the opportunity.
So watch you shut up,
and you too, Jason, to give your brief thoughts on the RoboCop trilogy. Yeah, go on.
Well, see, I had a question
we
about that.
We touched on
did
the
you cover
live action TV
show,
and
the cartoon.
And even a little bit of the Sci-Fi Channel 4-part miniseries of RoboCop, which is like Force. There were two cartoon series. We touched on those very briefly. And as in high school, I recall watching repeats of the RoboCop Alpha Commando TV show, which was the second series. But, Jason, what are you going to say about it?
Yes.
No, because I was going to say there are, like, some real, like, messed up things that kind of correlate to now. There was a superhero in the cartoons that was all about informing on your parents to the government, and money was super important.
Okay.
I'm looking
his
at,
name was
now
Cash
I'm looking at the
1%.
Spender. Yeah, and I'm thinking... How much does RoboCop kind of correlate to what we're looking at with the Occupy movement, with all these 1% who are kind of barricading themselves in buildings with awesome security? They bought out the cops. The cops, people are saying, oh, the cops are their army. Even the mayor of New York even said that he's like, well, I've got a private army in the New York cops. It's one of the third largest armies in America. I'm like, number one, it's not an army. Number two, you don't get to say that they're your personal bodyguard.
Right, and you know, a big theme that goes across all three RoboCop films is gentrification. And that they're taking the ruined areas of, what is it, Delta City? Is that what it is in those films? Or... wasn't it called Delta City?
Yeah, Delta City.
It was
but there was a... In the movies... Is it Delta City, Jason?
It is...
The idea is right. They're trying to take
the
corporate
areas
and make
a Detroit.
Like corporate condos for sale. And I mean, that's even it's a utopia, right? Where there's no crime and no homeless people, and it's all just rich people living in an area. Yeah, and and that continues throughout the films,
poor,
and it's more present
in
RoboCop 3, arguably, which is a film that has its problems. But I think you're right. You know, with the Occupy movement, it does bring. That to mind, and you do think of the, even though the government in the United States is a democracy, and right, how much say does the individual have?
In
that I do think there's something very, on one hand, very powerful about a group of individuals. In Portland, Oregon, we had several people do a march for Occupy Portland. I don't know, like a month or two ago. And I think it's very...
Actually, what is this that producer... What is this that John Davidson... I'm reading a quote here. Producer John Davidson on the 20th anniversary DVD referred to the film's message as Fascism for Liberals, a politically liberal film done in the most violent way possible.
You could also kind of say that about... In the end, yeah.
Because again, who gets punished?
That's interesting.
The rich get punished.
The corporate scene in the original, very first RoboCop film, where they're doing a demonstration of the robot Ed 209, and he shoots a lot of the people during his demonstration. It is really interesting in that you have a lot of corporate speak, but until something is actually on the table, how is it really going to function in reality as opposed to theory? Am I making sense?
No, absolutely. That actually just stumped me. That kind of,
Well, this is
a and I thought you wanted to avoid politics.
They only come once every year, so we might as well go.
Yeah.
Again, let's talk about the politics. Let's talk about the politics in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Well, actually, if I could touch on, well, I was about anti-Semitism, but if I could talk about RoboCop. I so wanted to
you had,
do RoboCop.
Yeah.
I had been campaigning for it, I think, all through the second half of the first year. And I was so upset when you moved to Cascadia, I couldn't be on the show anymore. And then you did RoboCop. And, like, I wanted to, like, somehow call into the radio station and, like, or send you comments. Like, I think those are such... The first one is such a good movie... And the second two are such fun to talk about. I just really feel it's like a missed opportunity. If we ever revisited a series in a like even if it was just like a RoboCop special, one special for one series, I would want it to be RoboCop. I mean, there's so much to touch on. I saw RoboCop and I was probably way too young to have rightfully seen it, but I had a good time. It left a big impression on me. I pretended I was RoboCop. I loved the gadgets. I practiced the quick drawing from the built-in leg holster. I loved his plug-in, which lets him drive the car. I still wish I could drive a car like that. Sometimes when I'm on a long drive, I actually, just because it's more comfortable for me, I just kind of slip my hands into like this gap in the steering wheel, and whenever I do that, I have this image of RoboCop plugging his knuckle knife, whatever it is, into the hookup in the police car
or whatever. If you keep that in mind, we should do that sometime in 2012 to give a different perspective.
We can talk about RoboCop.
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 There's a theme song to one of the animated
RoboCop
series.
RoboCop.
It's been 2 years of the sequel cast. Aside from having Wednesdays free beforehand, what is something about sequel cast that have stuck out over 2 years?
Well, the fact that we're still doing it, so many shows would have succumbed to pod fade, disinterest, whatever by now. It's rare in my experience. It's rare for a sort of fan produced podcast to last this long or be.
What do you have
consistent.
To say about that?
Wow! Yeah, I'm just happy. Again, I'm just happy to be here. I mean. I was happy when you first came up with the idea of this. I'm like, oh, that'll be interesting. And if it goes off within 6 months, I can just say, oh, we had fun. I'm amazed that we're still around. I'm very happy that you got to work for Cascadia. You got to work with other people. I'm glad to be able to work with you again. I hold no ill will that you covered movies that I would have liked to have talked about. But again, we get this chance.
Yeah,
and if we ever do revisit, I'd like to do more of Master Blaster.
When I started Sequel Cast in November of 2009, before that, you know, I have been doing podcasts in some form, not to toot my own horn, but I'm going to anyway, since 2005. Originally, should I say this story, or did I say that in the first year? Okay, do you mind? Okay, right. So,
No, go ahead. Go for it.
Thrasher, Jersey Jason, and I all attended college at Savannah College of Art and Design. While I was there, my final year, basically, I did a radio show on SCAD Radio called Do the Mario. It was a video game music show. And I had a lot of great fun doing that, and Thrasher was a guest at one point, and I had some other friends at the time as guests as well. And after that, you know, I graduated college, was living at home, having kind of a hard time, and I did a podcast in from 2005 to I think early 2007 that was a continuation of that, also on video game music, where it just was myself talking about video game music, then playing it, called the Super Koopa Troopa Show. And I just got burned out on it. And, you know, in between the years, I did a few episodes of something called the Sly Cast, which was supposed to be about all Sylvester Stallone movies, which, and then I did something else called the Worst Movie Podcast, which was, like, bad movies. But me doing that by myself, I found it very difficult as an individual to talk about something for an hour or 30 minutes or however long it was, compared to having a group of people on. And so when I launched the Sequel Cast in November of 2009, I was going to record it by myself, and at the last second, I called Jersey Jason on Skype and said, hey, why don't you do the show with me? And that's how the very first Sequel Cast on Beverly Hills Cop 1 got started, and then Thrasher came on later, I think with the Caddyshack episode or something like that. I'm sorry, okay.
No, my first episode was Smokey right, the Bandit
2.
I won
three, but yeah, which was I don't recall. Let me look.
His name was also Will, and, which made talking really confusing.
Right, yeah, Will Kaiser of the Super 8 Society.
The Burt Reynolds,
Burt Reynolds fan club. That's correct. Where Dumb Elephant...
And again, the idea that you've brought people in. I mean, like, it was so cool.
Yeah, the author of First Blood, the novel that birthed
David Morrell
franchise of films.
Being on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's so crazy. I mean, just the people that you've gotten, we need to get, man, we haven't had any starring people. I'm trying to.
I think the biggest.
We haven't had any big stars.
You know,
who's the biggest? No, let's not say biggest.
Films. The most high profile we had was Steve Barron, director of the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, who I talked with on an interview through Skype at 7 o'clock in the morning Pacific time because he's based in England, talking about that film, and that meant a lot for me, and you know to. Yeah, it did. I mean, Ninja Turtles was something I loved a lot growing up, and talking to someone that involved in the very first film, I thought was very, very interesting. And, you know, like...
Wow.
I'm tearing up a bit. Maybe it's...
Uncle Milkshake.
Yeah, it's intense.
Are you crying?
It's just...
It's intense, man.
And
yeah,
I was like,
no,
I would have killed to actually talk to him.
Like, yeah, it meant a lot to me.
You know,
because
it was early in the morning my time, and, you know, he was just putting... the finishing touches on a TV movie of Treasure Island starring Eddie Izzard as Long John Silver that's going to air on Sci-Fi Channel. And it's going to air on Sci-Fi Channel sometime in 2012. And I mean,
nice.
Aside from the movies, Steve Barron directed, there was a miniseries called Merlin that was on NBC in the late 90s. Yeah, right. And I mean, he did episodes of the Jim Henson Storyteller.
Yep, that was a classic.
Things, just to have him on for 10 minutes meant a lot for me. Like, I don't know. Like, I am getting a bit teary-eyed, Jason, as you pointed out. But Ninja Turtles from my childhood, I think, was just so important. And at the time, I was living overseas, and all I had of Ninja Turtles was maybe that first movie on videotape and two episodes of the cartoon series, and that was it. And, like, I don't know, like, it was just really cool. And not that on Sequel Cast we need people professionally involved with the films every time, and that's certainly harder to line up as far as interviews go. But it was just a really nice thing to throw in there. I really enjoyed that. Yeah. But I've enjoyed every guest we've had on the show.
That's really cool, like, people. Yeah,
well,
absolutely.
You.
I haven't heard a single guest I haven't liked. That'd be weird. I'm very glad.
Normally you hate guests.
But also I feel really bad because I like jumping in with stuff, and I really I don't know, with my, this is the one criticism, I don't know if anybody else
that's a problem with doing these shows.
And I apologize.
You know, doing these shows over the internet with all their time zone differences isn't ideal. But we do the best we can, and...
You know, I'd like to apologize to every guest I've ever talked over, but it's like, I don't have the connection to them that I know the internet is working.
On Skype, I feel at the best. It's a game of the kids' game of telephone, where you're doing a pause between each thing you say and not to make sure people talk over each other. And we do the best we can. I think we've had several great guests on the show. Yeah, no, God bless them, absolutely. Not only in 2011, but, you know, since we started the show. But, you know, for Indiana Jones, Mitch Halleck of the IndieCast, I sent him an email just saying, you know, can you be on for an episode? He was on for all 5 Indiana Jones episodes, which surprised the shit out of me, but he fucking knows his Indiana Jones, you know. Yes.
Oh, speaking of Indiana Jones...
I've read that. It was a draft for what eventually became Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Have you read that? Okay, yeah.
I just got it today.
It's on SlideShare.net.
I can actually send you it. And it's the full script. You can go through. But other people have said that it's brilliant, and I didn't know your take if you heard it.
Yeah, I thought it would have been better. But you think it would have made it better? The character of Indiana Jones' son, played by Shia LaBeouf in the movie, on the other hand, a lot of stuff is very similar. You still have the now infamous nuking the fridge scene, where Indiana Jones crawls in a fridge and survives a nuclear blast. But on the other hand. Like, the stuff between Indiana Jones and Marion, the love interest, you know, from way back in Raiders of the Lost Ark, I think is done better in that script. So I think it's kind of like 6 of 1, half a dozen of the other. I don't know if it overall was any better, but it has some... It's a really interesting read, especially if you've seen Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, to what might have been, because that was very close to being the script... the final script for that movie, and it was they had a deal in their contract. Steven Spielberg, the director, George Lucas, the producer, and Harrison Ford, you know, the star, had a deal where they all had to agree on something to go forward in another Indiana Jones film. And George Lucas was the one that did not ultimately approve the Frank Darabont script, and yet there are several echoes of what happened in that script and in previous scripts. Yeah. In the final film. So I think you'll find that a very interesting read, Jason. And I'd like to hear what your thoughts on those are down the line. Yeah.
Yeah, I plan to read it tomorrow. But I have the...
Oh, okay.
I have the
sure. No, I can do
link
that.
Sent to you if you want to put that on the site or whatnot. But,
yeah,
I
agree.
It's pretty cool that it's out there. Cool. And again, Indiana Jones, talking about, we've done, again, one of the things that I keep harking on is all these action movies. It's so easy to have action movie sequels, Born Identity, Die Hard. But it's hard to do that with a funny movie like Home Alone. Well, no, Home Alone is still, it's
kind
a kid's Die Hard, isn't it? You can't,
but it's
name,
so easy to do.
Ace Ventura. Ace Ventura is a mystery movie. There aren't any. Think of a strict comedy.
You know, American Bruce Pie Almighty has had three theatrical sequels. I think like maybe they've had like
those aren't comedies.
Yeah, but like American
they
Pie,
are.
They've had
and
like
so
four
is,
direct
so
video
so
sequels
is, Scary Movie.
Ridiculous like that. And there's an official American Pie 4 coming out in 2012. But no, you're right. With what was that you said, Jason? You're right. No, sure.
Was it Scary Movie?
Yeah.
And what about Van Wilder?
Sure. I mean,
technically.
Yeah, like Scary Movie. There was 4 theatrical films in the series. There might be a 5th coming out, supposedly. Yeah. Well, those aren't
really
sequels,
teen movie,
but...
not another... Wait, ooh, here's a question. Would you count... No. Would you count all those not a...
We could if you
dot,
wanted,
dot,
because a lot of those...
Not
another
dot, dot,
point,
dot. Would you count those all
by the same
the
writers
sequels?
As the other movies. Like it...
Those movies aren't written. They're edited together from previously existing trailers.
You know, those are written by the same people. I don't know. You could cheat and call those a trilogy. I mean, I was talking about when we talked to Susanna Gora about the Home Alone films when she was on for that show for Home Alone 1. And she wrote a book, you know, all about John Hughes and the Brat Pack. You could loosely claim that John Hughes movies are part of a trilogy with, like, 16 Candles and Breakfast Club and Pretty in Pink or whatever. Yeah.
All those ones, if they belong to the same universes and if characters...
Right, no, I mean, that's
over,
a loose definition,
really
but
much.
We've cheated before
well,
with
that,
the animated
that's...
Lord of the Rings stuff. We could cheat with... Yes, right, Kevin Smith.
And then also you go view askew universe.
Yeah, yeah,
you have Chasing Amy, you leap into Dogma.
Clerks 2 is the most direct. But no, you're right. I mean, they reference characters and events. But it's not as tightly interwoven as like a Matrix sequel or something.
Yes.
So, Thrasher, what say you?
No, I wouldn't consider any of those movies sequels or part of a trilogy any more than I consider the films and the Red Curtain trilogy part of an actual trilogy.
Oh, what's the first one? Fuck. Strictly Ballroom.
Well, all I know is it's Strictly Ballroom and Moulin Rouge.
Considered
right there,
to be
probably.
The trilogy.
Yeah, and it's just like that. That's not a trilogy. You
no, those are. No, I agree there.
Films that is.
Yeah, I mean they're over the top musicals by the same director, but right. I mean that's kind of loose.
Well, what about a movie that like? Okay, now here's another thing about sequels. You talked about The Matrix. The Matrix itself is more the continuation of a storyline, whereas something like Speed and Speed 2 are different chapters. Same thing with Die Hard. They're different chapters in the same character.
Well, they're different kinds of sequels.
How many of these?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But I actually know, are those the only two? I think that's the only two ways to do
a
sequel.
How many I don't quite understand what sequels? You're asking, Jason, but... as in The Matrix.
Okay, there, we have continuation of a single story in three different movies for a trilogy and such. As in, even Lord of the Rings. But what about a movie? What about a movie that is just different chapters? Like, okay, how many times can the same thing happen to the same guy? Die Hard. Back to the Future is a continuation of one story. Born Identity is a continuation of the same object. Whereas Rocky Horror and technically Shock Treatment, they're not so closely linked that you would say they're chapters.
I mean,
they're different chapters
so
in that character's life.
In my opinion,
name a third way to do a sequel.
Matt here, obviously. God, I've been drinking too much. Okay, so with sequels, obviously, if something is like Matrix 1, Matrix 2, Matrix 3, or Speed 1 and Speed 2, Cruise Control, right? That's obviously a sequel. I think with something like Matrix, if we were to cover Matrix on SequelCast, I feel we'd have to devote a separate episode to the Animatrix while being a direct-to-video series of spin-off animated shorts. I think it contributes to the overall narrative. And, you know, I think if we, which I think we should, if we ever covered the Dungeons & Dragons films on SequelCast... We'd have to cheat a little bit and not only do the live-action Dungeons & Dragons 1 and 2 films, but also touch on the direct-to-video animated... No, what was that? Dragon... what is it? The Dragonlance thing? Right. As something on there, because...
Yes, the Dragonlance movie.
Well, see, but those aren't... That's another way, I think, of doing sequels. It's all in the same kind of connecting universe, but they're not the same
right,
characters.
Right, it's connected brand. I think
going
that's
over,
fair.
So
I think that's I mean, I don't, it's a bit cheating, but we're not cheating every single... What do you think about that, Jason? I don't know.
I don't know, because you're right about the first two movies, but then you have also the movies that kind of are so different from each other. What was the one on Sci-Fi that they, what is it?
That was the second Dungeons and Dragons film, and it featured a sidekick villain from the first film that rose to prominence in the second film. And even though, yes.
Okay, so that has a connecting thread. But the Dragonlance one.
No, but I think it would be fun. I think it would be fun to talk about.
No.
I think, you know, that particular series of Dragonlance books by. Oh, what are those authors? Tracy and Laura Hickman.
The Hickmans. Tracy and Laura Hickman.
Yeah, you're correct. And,
you
know,
those
books have such a legendary scope that I think covering it would be fun, even though I haven't read any of those books, except for maybe part of the first one.
I'm trying to think of another movie.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another series of sequels.
Okay. Yeah.
That don't actually have... Ooh, no, I got it. Okay.
Yeah, no, sure. Yeah.
Tales from the Crypt.
Uh-huh, yep.
And also, Creepshow.
There's technically, there's a...
Creepshow, but doesn't have any of the characters.
One of which stars Tim Curry. That was something that was not meant to be a Tales from the Crypt film, but became one. And there's three Creepshow films, but the third one was done several years... You know, much like to the third Tales from the Crypt film, was done several years after the fact, where they just happened to have the rights to...
I'm talking about the old, not Peter Cushing's, but that Hammer Horror. Are you talking about the English ones?
The HBO movies.
Because I'm
yeah,
also
that
talking
would
about
count.
The 1970s, uh-huh. They had Tales from the Crypt, Vault of Horror,
yeah,
and
right.
one
I
other.
Mean that...
And Tom Baker was in one of those.
No, it wasn't Tom Baker. It was the other doctor. White hair.
Tom Baker was in one of them. He had the crazy bushed out red hair, beard, and mustache.
Yes.
Like he had gone
yes, he
full on
the
Rasputin.
Redhead Explorer.
That's right. You know, I
totally
even
forgot about that. You're completely
those,
right.
I mean, that's really
yes,
interesting.
He
that's
plays,
something
yes,
so
yes.
far removed. You could compare the style of a horror movie anthology from the, I don't know, what is it, 70s? Compared to what it was in the 80s. Still using the Tales from the Crypt name. I think that could be something very intriguing for 2012 and sequel cast. I think so, yeah. I mean, you'd have to have some kind of connective
work. The
tissue,
idea of the anthology.
Super strong. Exactly, right.
They do, because
yeah.
they come from EC
yeah,
Comics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Call them,
no, I agree.
We would call them EC
and
Comics,
I mean,
Vault of Horror.
I own all the season of Tales from the Crypt on DVD. Not that we're going to do things on the TV show or anything. But even on that HBO TV show, Tales from the Crypt, there was entire seasons where they didn't even use Tales from the Crypt comics as inspiration. They would use Vault of Horror or other things. Yeah, yeah, other EC comics.
They would use
right,
EC comics.
Right.
They would
yeah.
use anything. I totally, yeah. But also, some of them, also, I think
uh-huh.
some of them were
yeah.
like completely different than the comics. There's one where this kid goes into a house and his hair turns white. They find him like he's prematurely aged by something he saw in the HBO series,
uh-huh.
the sorority
yeah.
that kind of made them go to this house, that kind of conned them to go to this
right.
house, are all vampires or ghouls. They're all ghouls.
Like, well, isn't that how so many episodes end where
yeah,
someone turns out
to
be a vampire?
Of, Tales in the Crypt on HBO,
yeah.
Where it's about vampires and Malcolm McDowell. The actor from, you know, Clockwork Orange is Alex, plays a vampire, and it has several painful vampire puns that are terribly obvious, and yet I enjoy it because Malcolm McDowell is in it. Yes, you're
and
correct.
It's a terrible pun, and you love terrible puns.
Pressure, yes. That's absolutely correct.
Well, again, that's another thing that we really haven't touched on too much.
You're right.
We haven't done true horror.
Horror comedy?
You wouldn't consider Reanimator horror?
Well, no. Okay, I count that as funny. I find there are like zombies and stuff, but I'm really talking about some of the terrible movies that I can't watch. I can't watch House of a Thousand Corpses. I've never seen those films.
Oh, I've never seen House of a Thousand Corpses and whatever and the spinoff was he did. Yeah. I've never seen those.
Double Rejects.
Okay, folks, if you ever get access to it, because here's the deal. If you ever get access to a time machine, travel back in time to the weekend when House of a Thousand Corpses was in theaters, because the best way to see that movie is in a mostly empty theater surrounded by people who know jack shit about legitimate horror movies, and watching them... The real fun is watching them respond to the movie and watching the theater slowly empty out as people actually start
Thrasher,
getting scared. It is
like
an
that,
amazing experience.
With a friend of mine, Eric, also known as Lost Creighton on Destructoid and stuff, we went out to see the Friday the 13th reboot when it came out in theaters. Right? You know, from a few years ago. And we sat through, and we thought the movie was all right. But I had the most fun personally watching these two young high school girls in the row in front of me jumping and screaming at every jump scare. I had more fun watching them screaming at all like the cliched scare moments that I had become hardened to over years of watching horror films. Watching that Friday the 13th reboot. Uh-huh.
Yep. If you know your horror movie vocabulary, you know how to spot, see a jump scare coming. It's great.
Teenagers being freaked out by it, I thought for me, it was very gratifying in a sick sort of way, I guess. But... So we've been talking for about an hour about the two-year anniversary of Sequel Cast and not even touching about the Sequel Cast, really in particular. For the third year... We have, yeah, but I'm saying for the third year,
what
for the year
about?
2012 of Sequel Cast, what would you like to see us do for that year, or what sort of, I think like more, like a series of horror films, as long as it's not like 20 films or something in a series, I think it'd be okay with. Because of the fatigue, you know what I mean?
True. I really would love to talk about.
Yeah, there's been a lot of those,
movies.
And I have not seen the newest Muppet movie yet.
The new one just came out. I'm going to go see the new one. I'm actually seeing it tomorrow
with
a friend.
Well,
I would have seen it by the time.
Thrasher?
No, you are seeing it tomorrow, regardless of when or where you listen to this podcast. It's the horrible Groundhog's Day time loop you're trapped in. You're perpetually always on your
way.
It wouldn't be so horrible.
It wouldn't be so horrible. Oh, see, but I never get there. That's the horrible part. If I get there, it's not so horrible. Because I've heard some things about the movie. I'm really interested to see how they do it. I love Amy Adams. I could watch it all day. What's that giggle? I'd love to do that if we're going to do another family-friendly.
Okay.
I'd love to do a horror back-to-back. Why? That sounds really cool. Yeah, let's not do Muppet movies.
Okay, no,
that's
fair.
House of a Thousand Corpses. Can we just agree
Thrasher?
And not put those together?
No, we have to vary it.
Oh, God.
Okay, I would say what I would love us to do next year, I would like us to do... Hmm. I definitely would like us to do a black-and-white film series. I think we need to reach back deep into the past. I think we ought to do some special episodes about film cycles. Like in the spring, I think maybe we should do like an upcoming sequels movie where we just natter on about sequels that are coming out that summer, which, you know, we can trash, bash, or praise, prematurely praise, depending on, you know, rumors.
Just from
or
the
what.
But how do you know
from the trailers
you know
they're out at the time. I think that's fair.
Advertising.
Summer preview show. No, bullshit.
What if
this is gonna be motherfucking sequels?
What if there are no sequels?
That's all they make now. That and Battle.
That is something. That is actually something you can.
Yeah, I suppose. But that's a good point. I mean, not all movies come out as sequels, but we are the sequel cast, so that's. Yeah, Batman.
What is it?
3.
I think Dark Knight is coming out.
Well, you know, whenever we do a series that's more than three movies, I think we definitely should do a special episode as a palate cleanser. Sometimes you really need a hard break before going from one series to another.
We've never covered that many episodes like Leprechaun. In a row. I think that would make us like kill ourselves. Like, I don't know. Like, that's too much.
We're
not going to spend half a year doing James Bond movies, is my ultimate point. Like, that's fucking ridiculous. But we could do, if we wanted to, like, Sean Connery James Bonds or, like, the weird James Bonds. You could do,
Daniel Craig years.
Next year, but, like, right. I mean, we could do even, like, one about the weird ones. Yeah. We could do that, or we could do the one. Three episodes about the James Bond, on Her Majesty's Secret Service, and with the Timothy Dalton ones lumped into one thing, where it's like the lesser known Bonds, you know, not counting the bizarre Casino Royale film from the 70s or 60s, whatever it was. There's a lot of those, but you could.
You know, we ought to do a porno series.
Is that easily available?
Green Door and Beyond the Green Door. Yes. I'm sure. Well, let me put it this way: all things
I think
come
for,
to he who
for
waits.
Me, throwing my two cents in. In 2012, at some point, we need to do the Dungeons and Dragons movies, and I think we should throw in the Dragonlance movie, even though it's a stretch, because we can find a guest to come on. That knows a lot about the books. Like, I don't. But, like, it's a loose connection.
Same source
that,
material.
Direct-to-video animated, very cheapy Dragonlance movie, which I don't even have the title of in front of me to look at, pissed off so many people. Because that's, like, a book series of, like, over a dozen books. Is that right? Throughout the years. What the fuck? No. I mean, like,
no,
whatever.
It's over 100.
What?
I'm not talking about.
No, there were over 100 Dragonlance novels, but there were.
You know, the Weiss saga of books is.
Oh, you know who we can have? I know somebody who has a Razzlin back tattoo. Get them on.
Okay, so we've talked a bit on this. We've talked a bit. That's a character in the Dragonlance, some of the novels. Yeah. But we've talked over an hour on the Sequelcast 2-year anniversary, skipping and jumping along different topics. To close things out, what is one thing you'd like to say after 2 years on the Sequelcast? Jason.
I would like to congratulate you.
No, thank you very much,
Jason.
I never thought Sequelcast would last this long, to be honest. To be perfectly fair, I was almost going to cancel the show after the Beverly Hills Cop 3 episode. Episode 3. Because it was so painful talking about that movie. And
then really?
Back when I started the show, back when I started Sequelcast, I had spent way too much time editing these shows. And being very OCD on them. And lately I've had a more relaxed... perspective, and it's...
I remember that.
A, got the shows out on time, and B, a lot of podcasts, frankly, aren't professionally edited or kind of sloppy in presentation anyway. So I think... I'm not getting to the point very well, but... No, I appreciate the 2 years you've done on the show and the years going forward. It's, the show has meant an awful lot to me, no matter how many or how few listeners we've gotten over the years. And looking at my statistics, as of the recording of the show in late November 2011, since Sequelcast has began, We've had over 15,000 downloads. So, a round of applause for ourselves.
Yeah, that's really cool. Again, if everyone who listens to this tells a friend, and they tell a friend,
we could have 10 listeners to the show. Yeah.
No, just a friend, not two friends. Again, when we have over 100 thou, that's when we should
die
get
before
insurance.
Then. But okay. okay, sure. 20,000 is fair.
How about 20,000
t-shirts on Cafe Price or something? Thrasher, out of the 2 years of being involved with SequelCast, what are some thoughts about it? 2 years into it.
That I don't want to stop. Thank I'm you. Not ready to stop. I still. This is really fun. This is some of the. This is one of the highlights of my week. I love talking about movies, and I love that you've built this forum that allows me to discuss movies with you guys, and
no, thank you very
that allows
much
other people to enjoy those discussions.
You know, I recall before I started the SequelCast, I was talking to Jersey Jason on the phone a few years ago about some movies, and Jason made an offhand comment, "What are we even talking about these movies? What does it really matter?" And since then, it's become a show called the SequelCast. In a matter, you know, in a matter of speaking, and
I still
you know, the show has really meant a lot more to me than maybe it should have over the years. But it's something I'm very proud of that we've built an audience of, and it means I'm getting a bit teary-eyed right now talking about it, as silly as it is. I mean, we talk about silly movies in a very important way, I think, or with a lot of passion to it, at least. And SequelCast is something that. Yes. No, I agree.
It's cool that people are listening to that discussion. Yeah. I mean, people actually are downloading and are interested in our views
well.
Of a movie.
Yeah, going into 2012, we just have nowhere to go but up. We mix up in what we talk about. It's not just about horror movies or science fiction movies. It's about different things. Yeah. Or 80s. Well, a lot of 80s movies, but yeah.
Or 80s movies.
I think SequelCast means a lot to me, and it means a lot to all of you listeners. And I thank you all for listening to whatever episodes you've listened to. If you decided to listen to this self-indulgent wank fest of a 2-year anniversary show.
I thought it was a daisy chain.
Perhaps that's the case. And in 2012, God. We'll certainly have to have fans of the SequelCast on as a guest for a show. I think that'd be fun to do.
It'll be nice to have our
and
fan
if
on. If
there's any movies that people want us to talk about, I mean, my friend Russell still
listens.
And
he talked about Karate Kid.
And he got to talk, he wanted us to do Karate Kid. We did Karate Kid. He came on and talked about a movie that he... If there's anybody who has
right,
a movie
I know,
they want
to
talk about, just email. Just talk to us. We'd love to have you on.
Aladdin, who has a show of himself, Extra Sequential, a comic book podcast out of Australia, he talked about Jurassic Park a lot. I think that would be really fun to cover those three films. And what?
Oh, wow. Clever Girl.
He's a man. But no, yeah, that's a line from the
movie. I said Clever Girl.
And long, yeah. Another, you know, a long time listener to the SequelCast on the Facebook page, Luis has recommended Lethal Weapon and Gremlins, which I think are great, great ideas. I've been promising Lethal Weapons for a while and haven't delivered on that, so we should do those films. I think are a pretty big franchise, and. Yeah, I mean, if anyone has an idea for something we can cover, you can submit it over on the Facebook page at SequelCast or go to SequelCast.com or go to the blog at SequelCast.blogspot.com. So for the 2-year anniversary show of SequelCast, this is Matt.
This is Thrasher.
What should we say as the last thing?
And this is Jersey for, Jason.
This year.
Let's talk about
congratulating yourself on the back. Oh, there we go. That's much better.
Let's talk about
movies. 1, 2, 3. No.
Now that seems so plain.
should we sing like a respectful kind of looking back on the years version of the sequel cast?
Let's all look.
Yeah.
No. What? Oh God! Wait. What if you just played the music? If you just played the music to the theme, just like slowly, like on Neighbors when somebody's died on the show Neighbors, it's like da da da.
Yeah, I know. I could record a cover.
How does Neighbors go?
What it is
oh,
piano.
You know, we're all in the same room, and the camera starts to pull back, and the camera pulls back, and you see the high school, and the sequel cast music starts to build up.
Dun, dun. Dun, 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 dun,
forget about me.
Don't you.
John Hughes has been riding in a grave for a few years now.
We're going to do.
No.
Sad, too.
I think so. Yeah, he died visiting one of his sons in Manhattan.
How long has he been dead?
He had a heart attack. So, yeah,
that's what we do.
Okay, good night, fellas. This is fun. Back to back episodes.
Oh no, not just a guess.
It's really late for you guys.
All right, man. No, it has been fun. Hopefully, I can. God willing, I'll be.
No. In 2012, sequel cast becomes a trilogy. Night.
Bye. Good night in the back. Yeah.
Good night in the back.
Good night.
Neighbors. Everybody needs good neighbors, just a friendly wave each morning, helps to make a better day. Neighbors need to get to know each other, next door is only a footstep away. Everybody needs good neighbors, with a little understanding, you can find the perfect blend. Neighbors should be there for one another, that's when